Hey everyone, this is Daniel.
And I'm June.
And we are
Koreans
Americans.
Hey.
Hey.
So we're in a different angle today.
Yeah, something different.
And we have more people.
Yes. It's a very exciting milestone. Very bittersweet too. So today we have our first two guests ever on the pod. And they are our former coworkers. And we're on the team together. And it's bittersweet because, you know, this is likely one of the last times we'll all be hanging out together for the foreseeable future. Because our, you know, two ex-coworkers and our guests will be moving back to the U.S. shortly. And so June and I, we thought what better way to commemorate this than to bring them on the pod.
Yay!
So, you know, Ray and E, welcome.
Welcome. Thank you.
Thank you.
How's it feel to be our first guests on the pod?
I've never done this before, so this will be fun, though. Let's see.
Yeah.
Very honored.
Oh.
Thank you.
You know, yeah, it'll be fun.
Mm.
Nice.
You can be honest here. Please be honest. Are you listeners to the pod?
I'm watchers of the reels.
How many episodes have you listened to?
I've watched most of your reels.
Dude, this is exactly why we should make more reels, right?
Yeah. All right, good to know.
Same here.
Dagger. Wow, okay. All right, well, I hope that you guys watch this and you have to prompt. Part of the agreement is you share this with all your friends. All right, so I think by way of intro, I think to start, maybe you two could both introduce yourselves. And please include, on a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being absolutely Korean, and 10 being absolutely American,
nice.
Where you are on that spectrum and why.
Wait, 10 is American.
10 is like what John.
What I was.
John Wayne, like fully Donald Trump. I don't know.
What was your guys' scale?
That's good for reference.
Yeah.
I forgot what I was. What was I? Was I like...
I thought you were a 4, but you said you're a 3 max, most likely a 2.
Yes, exactly. That's what I feel exactly right now, too.
Which is crazy to me, but I don't know Korean.
You said 2?
3 max.
3 max.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then I I thought I was like a 6, but I think most people agree I'm closer to 7 to 8. Yeah.
Okay, so that's a reference.
Yeah.
Well, hey, I'm E. I'm a software engineer. I lived in Korea about 2 years. Before that, I lived in the US my whole life. On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being Korean, or sorry, 10 being American, right? Mm. 1 being Korean, probably a 9.
Mm.
Yeah. Mm. I shift 1 point down from full 10 because everyone looks at me and they think I'm Korean.
Yes.
Yes.
I don't want to give any PII, but E... Your last name.
Ah, yes. Yeah. My last name is also multicultural. This was an explicit decision by my parents to prevent discrimination or something like that in like resume screenings and stuff.
Yes.
And it's been a double-edged sword in Korea because I think I get people's hopes up and then they... encounter an illiterate person and their hopes get shattered. It's different than my more clearly foreigner friends. They kind of get a pass, right?
Yeah.
But for me, I always have to deal with the roller coaster of like they think, oh, I'm native, right? And then crushed.
Yeah.
Our first 1 hour conversation, the whole hour I assumed you were Korean.
Me too.
And then at the end, it's like, yeah, just, by the way. I feel like you must always wait for when is the right moment to break their hearts.
It depends, right? If it's just like if it's someone I'm gonna be, you know, talking with more often or like a friend or something, I try and bring it up early, right? So that it's like because I feel like they feel awkward if they just like assume and then suddenly I'm like, oh, by the way. So I try and bring it
up
early.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why didn't you bring it up early with me?
Well. I was trying to get through the professional stuff first.
Okay.
Yeah, got it.
All right.
Ray.
Thank you.
My name is Ray. I'm a UX researcher, research trainer. On a scale of 1 to 10, I thought it was about 5 when I was still in the US, mm-hmm. but then now, because I'm back in Korea, maybe 4.5.
Okay.
So I was born and raised in Korea, and then I even like finished my bachelor's degree and master's degree here, and then I just finished like PhD in the US and you know, worked in the US. So probably that's why it's not like too high on the scale, but when I was still in the US, I feel very invested in like, you know, politics and everything, but
oh really?
Not anymore because I'm back in Korea. So that's why it was higher back then, yeah. But not anymore.
Interesting. I think that's pretty accurate. Like me being a 3, and then so Ray's 4.5. Daniel, you're 7. But I feel like you guys are like, you and E are both equally American. But I think it's only because the other side of the scale is Korean.
If it was never be East Asian, maybe I would be a little bit lower.
Yeah.
Again, since you guys aren't listeners to our pod.
The watchers of our reels.
That's true. Yes. Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah.
No, really, thank you for your support. Don't stop watching the reels. but the reason why we wanted to start this was because we really wanted to compare, I guess, Korean and American cultures. So before we get into some of the questions we had for you all, yeah, if you could just take a brief moment to describe more of your cultural background and how, you know, where does the Korean part come from? Where does the American part come from? Mm. Ray, why don't you start and then you can go next?
Yeah. I mean, I think Korean part is pretty straightforward because, like, I was born and raised, you know, all my family members still here. Mm. My Americanness, I think it's by choice. I think I always, like, you know, even when I was growing up, like, I always wanted to go to the U.S. And so I think, you know, I was one of those kids, like, you know, when I was elementary school, like, I would ask my parents, like, oh, can I go to the U.S. when I, you know, go to, like, middle school? And then when I was in middle school, like, I'd be like, oh, can I go to the U.S. when I go to high school, you know? So when I finally went when I was, like, about 20, when I was in college, it was like a dream come true. So it was almost like an identity that I actually embraced and chose myself. So yeah, I think that's why. And I think that's, I don't want to be too naive about like, oh, anyone can be American because there's too much political things. But at the same time, I think that's like the US and American identity is one of those identities that you can embrace and choose yourself if you wanted to. Like, for example, it's kind of hard for you to be just like, oh, I want to be Korean. And it's kind of hard, right? But then, you know, being American is a little bit different.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
I think it's super interesting, Ray, that you mentioned that even when you were little, elementary school, you told your parents that you want to go to the U.S.
Yeah.
You must have had some exposure to the U.S. or have a perception of what America is. So I wonder how you got that perception in the first place and what was like your exposure of the U.S. When you were little.
I don't really remember the very first moment, but I think it's mostly like TV shows.
Interesting.
And
can you name one in particular? Yeah.
Interestingly, do you know Ere Arirang?
Oh, yes. That's like old and also school.
It shows Korean. How old I am.
Old school.
Hey, we're all within years of each other here. Yeah.
Wait, I might have mentioned this once during pod or personally.
Ere Arirang?
Yeah.
I've never heard
it.
It's a TV show. It's a TV show sitcom that, like, for some reason, randomly, it took place in L.A.
Uh-huh.
It was like, it's kind of like Kim's Convenience.
Yeah, Convenience almost store, like that.
In the early 90s in Korea. Uh-huh. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But like, it doesn't even portray the U.S. that
I don't even know. Maybe, I don't even know what, you know, where it really came from. But I think that was probably just one thing. And then once I went to middle school, my first love was Korean American.
Wait.
Wow. I hope my husband is not listening.
Like the celebrity crush or like in real life?
It's a celebrity crush.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, that's whatever.
But it was pretty intense.
Okay.
If you know me at all, it was pretty intense.
Can you share with the audience who that was?
It's Denny from One Time. Do you know?
Oh, no. One time.
This is already very striking. Like, the Koreans clearly have a shared history and culture. Where we're just like, who are these people? Yeah.
Is that like the good looking one? The only one good looking one.
But you're asking her if her like hardcore crush in middle school was a good looking one.
Because as far as I remember, there's like one good looking one, and then there are four members.
Yeah, right? Four members, yeah. And he's the lead singer as well.
Oh yeah, I think we're talking about this.
Yeah,
same
yeah,
person.
I think so. Yeah, he might be listening to this.
Shout out to Danny. Yeah. Is it Danny?
Do you remember me?
Wait, have you ever met him?
I mean, yeah. So when I said I was intense, yeah. I was intense. He knew me.
Whoa.
Okay. Yeah.
I was one of those. Do you know Sasengpin?
Oh, yeah.
I was one of those Sasengpin when there was no concept of Sasengpin.
Yeah, you have to explain what Sasengpin is.
So, what is Sasengpin?
So Sasengpin is like a, you know, I was like one of those fangirl. Like I was almost like a Band-Aid, you know. I would be at every concert, every like, you know, shows, like, you know. So yeah. I was there almost every day. They just like naturally know me and my name. I mean not yeah.
Did you run a fan site?
Yes.
Like her private life?
Well, it's like a cafe.
Okay, yeah. Wow. Yeah. It's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, for the audience, a cafe in Korea means both like a physical cafe, but also like an online community.
Yeah.
Neighbor cafe.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Daum cafe.
Daum cafe.
It was a Daum cafe. Yeah. Okay.
Is that like a forum or a
bulletin board? It's sort of like a sort of like Facebook groups, if you will. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So for me, I guess it might be a little bit of an inverse of Ray in that. So I was born and raised in the U.S. because my parents, I guess, like many others, immigrated to the U.S. for their children, basically. And so I spent, you know, basically my entire childhood there. And my desire to basically broaden my horizons, I guess. I wanted to go somewhere outside of the U.S. because, well, I recognize I'm very fortunate to have, like, grown up there. And a lot of people want to go there, as, like, Ray had just mentioned. You know, I wanted to see what else, like what living in another culture was like, basically, right? And so I am from one of the East Asian countries, but I explicitly wanted to go somewhere that I didn't have roots or connections to, just to, you know, experience a different culture and everything. And so I can't say that I am culturally Korean necessarily in any way, because it's not in my blood or anything, but it has been very interesting being here. I will say, maybe this is getting a little ahead of myself, but one thing that I noticed, like, here in Korea versus in the US is that, like, US is a melting pot, right? And so, like, I feel like the identity of American is very, it's hard to pinpoint or describe, or it's like here, I can see there's a lot of like camaraderie and like national pride, whatever you want to call it, right? And that's something I'm actually, to be honest, a little envious of, because like, I grew up in the US, not in like my, you know, parents' country in Asia. And so I don't necessarily, I can't as confidently say I feel that like I have a home country like maybe native Koreans could. So that is one thing that I'm like, to be blunt, maybe a little bit jealous of, right? Because like, I just feel like people going to their like native home country where people are more similar than in the US, it probably feels very like relaxing, right? Like you feel very comfortable. Whereas I never really felt that in the US. Like I grew up, it's funny, my parents literally chose to move to a town that had very low Asian population, because the rationale is, why would we move to the US and move to like, you know, blank town when like that's what we left, right? And so like, yeah, this is interesting.
Before we move on, I'm just happy because this is the most I've heard you talk ever.
Yeah, you're a really good talker.
In the years of knowing you, I'm just happy, man. Yeah.
Good to hear. I like to be behind the scenes.
You know? I'm curious to know, like, because you said you wanted to explore different cultures, and that's one of the reasons why you chose to move to Korea, but I'm pretty sure you had other options too, right? What was the main reason that you chose to come to Korea to live, to explore?
To be honest, it was limited to like what jobs options there were, right? Because I came here through an internal transfer from the company I worked at the time. And so, yeah, honestly, it comes down to like, okay, I'm looking at some different countries that seemed interesting to me, and what roles are available, right? What roles that also were, you know, good for my career too. Even though, to be honest, it was, I don't want to say a career hit, but I did move into like an org that was not as interesting as like my previous role, but I was trying to kind of limit the blow to my career too. I don't think it set me back necessarily, but I'm just giving you some like information on like how I like the constraints I was working with.
Interesting.
Right. Yeah. So
I just have one quick one I want to ask before we move on. I've often said on this podcast, the thing I love most about being here, apart from family and all those things, personally, I love being able to fit in and feel invisible.
Yes.
I don't know if that resonates with you, because again, on the outside, I think you could easily pass for a native Korean.
Yes.
So has that resonated with you, or how does your experience, you know, align with that?
It's funny you bring that up, because it is, when people ask me like to list out what are your favorite things about living in Korea, that does surface in my top five, basically, because again, growing up in the U.S., in not just in the U.S., but in like a predominantly, you know, white neighborhood, I always stood out, right? I was always like standing out no matter what. Mm. I think my high school had maybe 4 Asians total
out of
700 people.
Yeah,
right?
That's crazy.
And so it is actually very liberating coming here and just like, I just blend in. And, you know, at least I noticed the culture here, you don't really talk to strangers, right? Mm. And so I just walk around and do my thing. And it helps, it's so safe here too, right? So I can just exist. Yeah. And I'm fairly introverted too. So it kind of fits me perfectly. Mm. It's just that like when I do need to interact with someone, the jig is up.
You know? Got it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Can I make one comment?
Yes, of course. Yeah.
So I wanted to mention how E said, you know, like the meaning of home. But as someone who was born and raised in one country, but like chose to move to somewhere else and then kind of have home there, it's really hard to answer a question like, where are you from? Mm. Because, I'm from Korea, but that's not my home currently. Mm. And so I think the meaning of home is always changing. Mm. So although I always see myself as Korean, and that will always be my home and where my like family is and where I feel always differently, it's not necessarily like my home, if that makes sense. Because like my husband isn't, you know, he's American, and my child, you know, my son is Korean American as well. So it's like, it's kind of complicated, I think, the meaning of home.
Yeah. Mm.
So I just wanted to mention that it's, although I'm sure it's different, you know.
Right. Do you feel more at home when you arrive at the States or in Korea? Because for me, when I was in the States, I think it was like the 4-year mark when after 4 years living there, I felt like when I arrived to the U.S., it felt more like home to me. Mm. So for me, it was 4 years. Mm. But so I'm curious to know, like, now that you lived here for how many years? Is it 2?
Yeah, it's been like a year and a half.
Year and a half. Oh, it's only a year and a half.
Yeah, it's a year and a half. And also, I think, you know, like because I'm a military spouse, I've moved a lot in the U.S. too. So at this point, home for me is like not really a place, but where I am with my family, my husband and my son. But I definitely feel like when I go to my husband's home, which is, you know, Northern California, I feel like that's home because there's like all our family and like friends. So that's like one of my homes, I guess. And then Korea is another, you know, of my home. Mm. And so
I like that. Yeah. You don't have to have just one home. Like lots of places can feel like home. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
But maybe to follow on, when you first moved to the U.S. in your 20s, right? How long did it take for you before U.S. started to feel like home?
It's hard because, you know, just to kind of give you a little bit of history, I, you know, went to the U.S. for 1 year to learn English, and I came back, and I went to like France, and I came back, and I went to the U.S. and I came back. And so I went back and forth like so many times. Back then, I think it was still like Korea, where my mom and my dad was my home. But then once I got married, I've been married almost 10 years now, and then I have my son. It's now different. It's like where my son and husband are is where I, you know, home. So I'm kind of curious to know like how like my son will understand where the home is.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah,
you can ask us. Okay, well, let's move on.
Okay, I have a question.
Okay, go Jun.
Can you name your favorite Korean food and your favorite American food?
I like that. Softball.
Yeah.
Softball.
Yeah.
It's so hard though.
Like, what do you crave the most when you land in Korea and in the U.S.?
You asked me that too, yeah. First thing off the airport, what do you eat?
Yeah.
I think for U.S., I don't necessarily have a go-to because US is a melting pot, right? And so like, it's just whatever I'm craving at the time. Like, but for Korean food, I think it's a combination of like what the food is and the culture around it. But like, I crave going to like a barbecue place, like a gogi place, because
gogi,
exactly. Yeah, so tasty, right? But then I just like being there with like a group of friends, right?
And the vibe, like,
yeah, vibe, exactly.
It is different.
Yeah, like you don't really have that
in
the US, and like even when you do, like the like barbecue places, they're different. They're not the same.
It's
like there's some of them are like all you can eat, and like you go up to like, I don't know, like a self bar or something like that. It's just different. So yeah.
You call it a self bar, man. You've been living here long enough.
Self bar.
Wait, but before we move on, you just came back from the US.
Mm-hmm.
So when you flew there, what was the first meal you sought out when you landed?
You know what's funny is it's not a meal per se, but I would say that because we went back to the Bay Area and they do bubble tea, boba, really well there. Wow. Versus here in Korea, it's
only gongcha.
It's only gongcha, and it's very sugary.
So you went, you sought out an authentic bubble tea place.
Exactly. Okay.
I thought you were gonna say In-N-Out, man.
that's like the common everyone answers.
That's how you know you're not Californianized. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, wait, Ray.
I think in terms of the food that I like the most in the U.S. is just all ethnic food. Because
what's your
there's
favorite ethnic food?
So hard, but Thai and Mexican. Because I feel like Mexican definitely is something that the U.S. does really well, whereas like Korean Mexican food is like, So that's probably Mexican food is something that, you know, we definitely want to have, you know, once we are back. In terms of Korean food, I know it's funny, but tonkatsu.
What style? Because there are two different styles, right?
Because in Korea, there are so many different types of tonkatsu.
Yeah.
And then I like all. But then, like, in the US, there is tonkatsu, but it's like...
It's not the same.
Yeah, it's not the same. There are not variety, and, you know, so I love tonkatsu.
Makes me so happy, because I ordered tonkatsu today.
Korea does tonkatsu really well.
That is one of the things I recommend when, like, my friends visit. Like Korean style, like the premium tonkatsu, never had it before. I mean, people might say it's like Japanese style tonkatsu. So good so cheap. Yeah. Okay. Earlier you mentioned that blending in was one of the five things that you appreciate most about Korea. So if you wouldn't mind, maybe you and Ray could share your top five list. Like, what are the other things you have come to appreciate most about Korea?
In no particular order. And if I thought about this longer, maybe the list would change. But some of them that spring to mind. Safety is always one that comes to mind, right? Because the like media blows it up, right? But US, you obviously objectively more dangerous than Korea.
100%,
Yeah, especially coming from living in a big city where I was for like 7 years before this. It's just nice being able to walk around without really having to worry about anything. Like I remember it took me a while to get used to like just leaving my phone on the table at the coffee shop or whatever, right? Whereas like in the States, I personally don't feel comfortable like studying in a like a coffee shop myself by myself, because I can't go to the bathroom because I leave my stuff there. Where's it gonna be?
Totally.
Yeah. So that's what this one.
Wait, where's the line for you? Because I know that Daniel still can't leave his laptop in Korea when he goes to the bathroom. Can you leave your laptop?
I can.
You do?
I can. Yeah.
Eric got just one more point. One more point down.
I realized I thought about this more since that conversation.
Yeah.
If it's like a crowded cafe, I'm fine. But if it's like, so for example, I like to work in the basement of this building nearby. It feels like too not.
Many people pass
by. Yeah.
I see what you mean.
It's not like a safe cafe area.
Yeah, because where you're working is... Technically, it's not even a cafe.
I know,
It's just like a communal area where a lot of people...
That space in particular, I don't feel comfortable.
Okay.
And then, to be honest, if it's like... If I'm going to the bathroom, it's fine. But if I'm like leaving and coming back... So, for example, there's a Starbucks nearby. You know, it's maybe a 10-minute detour to go pick up my kids from school and come back. I would not leave it there. But I know Koreans just don't even think twice. Like, they leave their stuff at the cafe for 30 minutes.
Yeah.
And they're like on the other side of town. And they don't even think twice. So, you know, I'm not that level yet.
What about you, Ray? Can you leave your laptop in Korea?
I don't think I never did, even when I was living in Korea.
Oh.
I could leave my, well, I will leave my backpack and then my laptop will be inside it. Then it's fine. Yes. But then I don't think I would like leave it, because you can, you know, I don't know. Especially if you go to like bathroom for like 5 minutes, and I don't think I would like leave like my laptop and then go.
I mean, as an American, I'm thinking, wait, you're putting it in the bag? That's easier for me to steal.
Really?
Like, why would you? If anything, you should put it.
Handle.
Oh, exactly. Okay.
I think the idea is that you zip it up, right? So like you don't immediately see it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Okay. Anyway. Okay. So safety, blending in. Like, yeah. What other top things come to mind?
One of them is, I think the next two kind of go a little hand in hand. One is like how dense Seoul is, which allows for like very optimized logistics, right? Like having the subway, having like super efficient delivery of anything, being able to get to, like, there's so many things to do in the city, but you can get to a lot of it in like under an hour, usually much less, just by the subway, right? And so that's, you just feel more liberated, I think. Like, you know, I grew up driving, but my wife grew up in a city, and so she feels much more comfortable here, where she can just hop on the subway and go wherever. I think my next point is a little bit related in that, like, Korea itself is not a very big country, right? And so, like, you can actually explore a lot of different, like, cities outside of Seoul, too. You know, it's not hard to get to. Whereas, like, in the U.S., there's so much you can see, but, like, some of it is just, like, not nearly as accessible. So maybe a common theme here is just, like, convenience and accessibility, like, things to do.
Totally.
Yeah.
Do you have a fifth?
Let me think.
You don't have to.
Yeah. Why don't we switch to Ray?
All right.
Yeah.
I think my list is pretty much the same. Like, safety, how accessible everything is. And I don't like driving. And I don't need to drive here, even, you know, even though I live really far away from Seoul. Yeah. There's, like, you know, buses and, like, trains and all.
Wait, but you did drive in the U.S.
That's what I was going to ask.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah.
I did, but I really dislike it.
You tried not to, but you had to.
In my mind,
it feels so, like, odd, like, driving Ray.
Because
I know that you travel, like, very far distances through train and buses, so it would be very weird to imagine you driving.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
It's just crazy, right? Like, do you know anyone in the U.S. who's never driven?
I do, actually, but not that common, you know, and typically they come from like the city, right?
New York.
I think my
Only New York. I think that's literally the only place in the U.S. where people don't drive.
My wife, her family is from another like big city, and her siblings, a lot of them didn't get licenses till later, just because you didn't need it necessarily to like get around.
I want to ask a follow-up question for E. What kind of preconceptions of Korea did you have that turned out to be completely false? And same for Ray, but for the U.S.
It may get a little political.
First time we bring on guests, we get canceled. Okay.
It won't be too bad, but you know, like how the U.S. that I knew was more like, you know, the U.S. that I knew from like New Yorker and New York Times. And I arrived to the U.S. and it was more like, you know... You know. You know what I mean, right?
Okay. I don't even know what that means. I'm wondering how that's political.
So New Yorker and New York Times is very liberal news media.
Oh, I see.
But then actually, majority of the U.S. is not like that. I mean, you guys lived in like Bay Area for such a long time. I'm a military spouse who lived in like in the middle of nowhere. So I think that was kind of like a shocker, because I thought most of Americans think like the New York Times, or NPR, but it wasn't like that. Yeah. So,
more Fox News.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of Fox News.
Okay. And this was even back in like when you first went to the U.S. That's what you're saying, or?
So I think when I was like when I first came to the U.S., I didn't even know. You know, it's like because I was too young. I didn't really read like news articles or anything. But then like
I first experienced it, and I went back, and I, like, you know, I was, you know, I missed US, and I started reading articles and, like, you know, and got more interested in, like, you know, what's happening. And then, so those news articles were like New York Times and NPR. And so, you know, the version of the US that I knew was much more liberal than I knew, like, you know. So it was a shocker for me, like, why abortion is so, like, political. Oh, like, yeah, I didn't even, like, I couldn't understand why, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, I think, yeah, we talk about this a lot, right? America is so big.
Yeah.
You can't just generalize it, right? It's like city to city, so different. Yeah,
For me, I think actually a lot of things were a bit in, like, pretty in line with what I expected. Maybe random one that I didn't expect is I actually didn't realize the kind of, I guess you call it, like, aging problem here, or the birth rate problem, basically, right? I guess when I arrived here, there are a lot of, you know, older people, right, just in this country. And so I didn't necessarily expect that. So that was surprising for me.
Are you saying you ran into the kundas?
Probably a lot, yes.
Did you have any negative experiences? Oh, wow.
This one's going to be good.
You're not going to get this canceled. He's going to get this canceled.
I think it might be conflating with, like, expectations of, like, when they find out I'm not a native Korean.
Okay.
Is more maybe what I'm getting at.
Oh, you don't have to shy away. Like, but what was the negative experience you had with the aging population or an elder Korean?
I think maybe it's more a little lack of, like, empathy for being a foreigner, you know, like, they asked me for some help, you know, on the street or something, and then maybe I can't understand them, especially, like, I feel like maybe you can objectively say that elder speech is harder to understand for like, learning the language, right? And then, you know, generally it's fine, right? But sometimes I might get, like, a, you know, way 한국어 잘못해, you know, and then I think it's also something like that's happened before when they find out that, like, I'm living in this country and they're asking, like, you know, why, you know, why aren't I learning the language? And I am, but it's, you know, I'm not great at languages and it's like, I'm trying, right? But it takes time, right? Yeah. So I think a lot of it does kind of boil down to, me being a foreigner. I wonder, like, what it would be if, like, I was, like, a, you know, native here, right?
I guess that's also because you look Korean, right?
Yeah,
If you were white, I don't think they would expect you to speak Korean.
I don't think they would, even necessarily, like, ask me for help or something, to be honest. Exactly.
I was going to say, the internal shame I feel about not speaking Korean is much worse because I feel like I should know Korean. Like, I agree with them. I'm like, I'm so such a bad Korean. You have a legit excuse. Like, there's no reason you shouldn't.
Although, to be honest, like, oftentimes those conversations don't get to the point where I'm explaining that, like, oh, I'm not actually from Korea.
You just say,
like,
I'm a foreigner.
Right. And it's just like, oh, they assume, you know, I'm a Korean American. So.
Okay. Next one is, what is something that you miss about the U.S.?
Oh, I was going to ask that too.
Nice. We're jiving. Yeah.
Well, I guess I could anchor this on the reasons I'm moving out of Korea back to the U.S., which I've really enjoyed my life here in Korea overall. But the things that pull me back to the U.S. are, it's the macro things, right? Like, the career opportunities for software engineering are much better in the U.S. I don't think you can deny that. You make more money in the U.S. Exactly. And also my family is there, my in-laws family, like, my in-laws are there too. Most of the friends I've made growing up are in the U.S. And so it's just, you know, when you spend most of your life there, like, most of your life is anchored there. And as much fun as it is living here the past 2 years and being able to, like, explore the country and even, like, you know, neighboring countries and things like that, like, it's a little harder to justify long term, especially when you know that you're, for me at least, I would be kind of holding back both career and family. Like, I think there's a big decision to be made, like, if you want to potentially, you know, start a family or something, but then, like, you know, you're maybe not making as much income as you could. You don't have the family support that you would as in the U.S., like, where my family and my in-laws are. So I think those are the things. What's the original question? Like what I missed? Or yeah,
you missed the most.
Yes. Maybe I could say I missed a bigger paycheck.
Thanks for being honest.
It's hard to deny. Yeah.
Do you have anything that you missed from Korea when you were back to the US?
I think it was that list that we talked about earlier, right? Like being able to blend in, the safety, the convenience, right? I'm sure everyone says this, but I didn't like having to tip again.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Not that I don't appreciate the service, but I don't like the tipping culture. Yeah.
It's nice.
It is. Yeah.
All right.
I think, again, this will be very similar because I think more career opportunities there for me too, and a bigger paycheck for sure. And also, you know, more family reason, like my son is going to first grade soon. And so, you know, we were looking at options for him, you know, in terms of school wise. And then, you know, we didn't have really good options where we are. So, you know, that kind of like lined up with, you know, us going back. And another thing that I miss, I think I've changed a bit since I became a mom. There's definitely a mom hate here.
Whoa, what do you mean?
They don't like moms. Like, there is, like, Koreans in general.
Really?
I think people are a little bit less understanding of, I don't know, children being children.
In Korea?
Yeah.
Oh, that's super interesting because I just started to realize how, like, short, like, narrow-sighted we were, being, like, both male in their 30s living in Korea, but, like...
I wasn't narrow-sighted, Jun.
I was.
I'm well aware of our... Okay.
No, it's really eye-opening to hear, like, these different point of views coming from other people, so it just makes me think that we should have more guests on our podcast.
Oh, 100%. Wait, Ray, I have a follow-up. Is it specifically, like, do you see a difference between older Koreans versus younger Koreans that make you feel this way, or is it similar across both of them? And then how much do you think it's like, you know, you're probably raising your kid more maybe bicultural or even more American style, right? Do you feel like it's different between older and younger? Because I've definitely felt the difference, yeah.
I feel like younger generations are less tolerant.
Yes, okay. That's what I wanted to get at.
They don't have kids. And then
they probably might not even plan to ever have kids. Exactly. They have like a disdain for kids.
And I completely understand how they are because that's how I was when I didn't have a child. I had like no tolerance towards any young kids.
Yeah.
And so I understand them, but at the same time, it's like, well, like, you know, it's very hard when... You know, this, even when you went to a restaurant, a cafe, like, I'm here to spend money. Like, why are you, like, giving this vibe that, like, they don't even want me there.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's pretty stressful.
Okay, that perfectly matches my experience. Yeah, I think the older Koreans will come up to me or my wife and call us, what, aegukja? Like, patriots? Aegukja. Like, you guys are patriots, right? But the younger Koreans, for sure, I think the term I've learned from June is gichana. Like, oh, kids, they're so annoying. Like, just get them away from me, right?
Exactly.
And so, that matches me. But I did want to clarify that.
Mm-hmm. On the brighter side, Ray, what did you miss about Korea when you were in the States?
I think, like, you know, it's just like life is very easy here.
Said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just everything is seamless. Everything happens so fast. And even if you encounter any problem, like, you know, with your, like, I don't know, maybe your house has something, you know, you have something wrong in your house, and then you can just like call someone and then they will come here like in 2 hours and fix everything. And so everything is just so easy. So that's something that I'll definitely miss. I mean, when I was back in the U.S., I miss my parents the most, but my mom the most. But I think this time I go back and I'll still miss my mom. But I think that easy life would be something that I would miss the most. Definitely.
That resonates.
Yeah.
For both of you, could you ever see yourself settling in Korea long term? And, you know, probably not from what I've heard. But my follow up to that is, what would have to change for you to reconsider maybe actually, you know, settling down and living in Korea long term?
I think for me, the career opportunities would have to change.
Yeah.
I think that's the biggest thing, to be honest, right? Like, yeah, the family thing is tough too, right? It's harder to fly from Asia to the United States to visit, and especially, you know, as parents get over older, right, you want to visit them more, most likely. But yeah, to be honest, like, my wife and I, we had talked about the possibility of staying here potentially longer, depending on if, like, some of, like, my previous career opportunities, like, you know, took off a little bit more here. But yeah, so I think for me, it'd have to be
career number one.
Yeah, career number one. Yeah.
We're, like, me and my husband would still talk about, like, you know, like, retiring in Korea, too. Because, you know, I'm Korean. I can speak Korean, and my family's here. So it's easier for me. But so I guess two conditions would be my son, you know, grows up. And the second one would be we don't really have to make money.
Yeah.
So those two. Then I think, you know, we'll probably want to. We always talk about it, like, oh, maybe we'll retire in, like, Sokcho, or like Busan, or, you know, things like that.
Yeah. So you can see yourself retiring here.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. Awesome.
I have a rather lighthearted question. When you go back to the States, is there something that you must bring, like, buy for your friends? And also the other way around, if you come to Korea from the States, what do you always bring, like little treats, snacks, or presents?
From the US, we always buy a whole bunch of chocolates. Because that's like easy. And, you know, like,
what type
of Ghirardelli. Or, you know, there's, I can't really remember the names, but there's like a famous chocolate, See's Candies.
The yellow, like, See's.
Yeah, that sort of thing. Oh, vitamins.
Yes.
A whole bunch of vitamins.
No, like ibuprofen and, like, children's Tylenol. Yeah. Hard to get in Korea. Really.
Melatonin.
Melatonin. I'm even so getting melatonin for my friend from the base. Like, you know, regularly, I have to buy melatonin for them.
It's illegal?
Yeah.
Without a prescription.
Huh? It's without a prescription.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
To even take or own?
Yeah, if you bring back melatonin, I think it's technically...
I did not realize.
Okay, like, technically, Koreans should not go to casinos in Vegas. Or
Even in the U.S.? Yeah. I see.
But it's, like, something that everyone just does.
Yeah,
and just let it pass.
Interesting.
Yeah. Same for melatonin.
Really?
From the U.S.? Mm-hmm. When I go to the U.S., I buy a whole bunch of, like, the sheet masks.
For beauty, my... K-beauty stuff.
Yeah, K-beauty stuff. That's, it's always popular, so... Mm.
One of my friends, he always asks for, is this a Korean snack? I think it's called Crunky.
Oh, Crunky.
Crunky?
Yeah.
Yeah, Crunky.
That's
yeah.
so random.
It is very random, but I think...
Wait, is it a Korean friend from the U.S.?
No. He's Hispanic,
right? Huh?
Yeah, it's a candy. Yeah. It's like
Crunky.
Crunchy.
Never heard of it.
Yeah.
I gotta try it.
I think
it's like a Kit Kat kind of, right?
Yeah. I think because we just brought back, like, kind of a snack lot one time.
Yeah.
And that was the one he latched on. And he's like, you need to bring back a box of it. Like,
interesting.
Yeah. We literally have a box prepared to bring back, you know, for that move guy, back next week. Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Funny. Ray, I wanted to get back to this because earlier I don't think you had a chance to answer. Was there anything about Korea that, you know, in your most recent stint here, how did Korea differ maybe from your expectations of it? Even being like a native Korean, like knowing Korea quite well. Because, you know, Korea, I think, does move very fast.
Yeah.
Was there anything about Korea that differed this time around from your expectations?
Yeah. So I came back to Korea almost 10 years of, like, hiatus. So when I came back, I was kind of shocked at how people are very individualistic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I love it. Yeah. Interesting.
They don't...
Very in line with our previous...
Yeah, tell episodes. Us more. Yeah.
Yeah. So... I think I told you guys, like, we went to Thailand for 10 days and when we came back, our car battery died.
Mm.
And, you know, I think in the US, like, you know, anyone will help you because it takes like, 5 minutes?
Yeah.
But like, literally no one would stop for you. Like, no one, I would like wave at them and they will just like pass. Like, they don't just like stop. And I think it's because, like, you know, and then like, I would like even go to like taxi driver and then they were asking, like, you don't have an insurance. And then so it's like, oh, we have, you know, US insurance and all that. But then because I think the infrastructure is like too good. Like, no one is, like, willing to help. Like, it's like, oh, why are you asking for this help when you can just, you know, easily call an insurance company or, you know,
maybe
whatever.
I want to try to defend the Koreans.
Yeah,
do Koreans usually carry, like, the jump cables in their cars? Do they?
Do they? Or
I don't know.
I mean, do Americans?
Do Koreans?
Oh.
Maybe I'm trying to get at, like, maybe that's
But they
recent.
Didn't even stop. So I couldn't even ask.
give up now. I tried my best.
I will say, though, we have a car here and we do not have jump cables, whereas in the U.S. we would. Ray, that reminds us, in one of our previous episodes, a viewer commented that they were in Itaewon or somewhere, and they just, like, I think they might have been sharing the story on behalf of a friend, but they saw a lady literally just trip and fall in the middle of the street, and literally no one came to help them, which is, like, again, as an American, like, people would rush to their aid, like, hey, are you okay? Help them up. But in Korea, they just straight up ignored them. And, you know, they said it was probably a combination of, one, acknowledging the incident might have made that person feel more ashamed of what just happened. And then two, in general, just like the liability laws here, like they don't, you know, what if that person who fell accused them of you made me fall, right? So they're just so conscious of that that they just don't even bother, which again, it's kind of heartbreaking to hear. And something I would have not expected Korea to be like. But I agree. I've seen that exact same thing happen. Someone falls, trips on the ice, like spilled their drink, like everyone saw, hundreds of people saw, not a single person stopped to help.
I think for me, the question was culture shock.
Culture shock.
Culture shock, okay. Yeah. Culture shock might be too strong to describe this, but when I arrived, it was when COVID was still, you know, there's preventative measures happening, right? And, you know, you have to take tests to get on the plane and all that stuff. And I did notice that, like, here in Korea, you know, everyone follows the rules very well. You know, they'll just like go through the procedures, do what you need to do. And yeah, it's like very, very orderly, I would say. Whereas like in the US, a little more disorderly, I guess. Like people will generally follow the rules to get what they want, you know, or get where they're trying to go. But it could be a little more begrudgingly, you know. You know, this is this whole like,
mask mandates.
Things like that, right? Or like, you know, getting vaccinated or things like that. These potentially controversial topics, as far as I could tell, like, people were just following the mandates here in Korea. Because like, we had to like, we had to quarantine after we arrived for however long. It was like 2 weeks or something. And then, you know, you had to go get tests done and everything like that. And, you know, it just seemed like everyone was just in line doing just following orders as far as I could tell. Right, so I guess that was surprising, right? Like people just going along and doing it.
Now that you mentioned that, that was also my first welcome to Korea like shock moment. As soon as you get off the plane, you have like whatever 24 hours to get tested.
Yeah,
and the COVID testing in Korea, man, they jammed that thing all the way up for the full 5 seconds. Like in the US it's like, you know, gentle or whatever. Man, Korea was no joke.
I'm just checking off like, oh, I have to do it for like this deep for 5 seconds. Yeah. Just do it.
Oh, man. Yeah, the COVID test was brutal here.
Yeah. And you watch kids in line, they just cry because it's painful.
Oh, yeah.
And they don't have mercy on the kids.
Yeah. My kids, we at one point told them like, oh, we're going to go fly a plane. And they were like so excited. And then they were so scared and didn't want to fly because they were like, wait, does that mean we have to get the cold test, the nose test? They're like, it's not worth it. We're not doing it again.
It's not worth
it. It's seriously traumatizing.
Yeah,
it was crazy.
Can I say one thing about like, I don't think it's a culture shock, but like one thing that I always know that I'm in, like, oh, okay, I'm in Korea is like when we arrive, you know, your airplane arrived and everyone, as soon as like we land, everyone is trying to like unbuckle and get up, like, you know, get stuff and like get line, like so crazy. That's like, oh, okay, I'm back in Korea.
Like they're fighting to get in front of you by one person, which might literally save like 30 seconds in life.
Barely.
That's Korean society in general.
June, you're like, why wouldn't you do that?
I want to be first in line. I'm just kidding.
This one is more purely for the reels. If you could bring one piece of Korean culture back with you to America, what would it be?
Korean culture?
I don't know. Like, culture? I know one.
June, we can answer. Yeah, host can answer here.
I have one.
What is it, June?
The ding-dongs on the table.
That's huge.
That one's nice. Also, side note, like paying as you leave, just getting up and paying as you leave, instead of waiting for like blah, 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 and the back and forth to get the thing. And then paying tip.
This is a side note, but I'm I know there must be some system behind it, but it's always impressive to me that you just walk up and then like they know where you're sitting, right? Like, yeah. I feel like very rarely they need to like confirm, oh, you were at this table or something. Mm-hmm. You just walk up and it might be a completely different person that seated you and they just know. Mm-hmm. So that's always impressive to me.
Korean skin clinic. Korean that I enjoyed really very much.
You have a pibukwa, like a skin clinic you like? Yeah. Okay. It's like so much more expensive and like so less good in the US.
Exactly.
Yeah.
For me, it might be like, I don't know, I guess services or companies like adhering to pretty fast like turnaround times, you know,
just the pali efficiency.
Exactly.
Culture.
Okay. Yeah. Like, you know, sometimes it goes a little too far, but I think in general, it's nice because life just moves forward and like you can count on things to get done. And from that perspective, like some things can be less stressful because you're like, it feels like if you're trying to like do some logistics or something, like for example, I'm in the middle of moving right now, and I feel more confident that like, oh, this Korean company will get the job done because like it's just reliable. Whereas I feel like in the US, it's just more of like a crapshoot, you know, like it's really good service, or it could just be like, who knows, the ghost your emails, something like that. Yeah.
That I agree with.
Also, leaving the package in front of your door.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that is nice. Yeah.
not being concerned with the porch pirates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I literally have packages like for days if I went on vacation or something. Yeah. It's okay. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Yeah. Just a few more questions, I think, and then our time will be done, sadly. Oh, man. Emotional. But yeah. So now that you all are moving back to the US, is there anything you would have, you know, done differently, wish you had done differently while you were here? Or is anything left that you haven't done that you, you know, would like to do before you leave?
I think for me, when you move without a very clear, definite timeline of how long you're going to be there, I feel like once you like live in a place, you feel like you have all the time in the world to like go do certain things, right? Like, you know, a simple example is just like going to see all the tourist attractions in the city or something, right? And so there are a bunch of things that like just random little things that we wanted to do, and it just never get around to it. This also includes like, you know, seeing people that like we knew, you know, we're also here, but like, hey, we live here, right? So like we can see them whenever. And then now, you know, I'm in my last like basically week here, and it's frankly quite busy because like, oh, let's try and get everything in before we leave. So basically I wish I would have paced out like the kind of like fun experiences a bit more, maybe like you know, reached out to friends sooner. And then I think maybe the last thing is I think I could have balanced my life a little bit better in terms of like, I did come here wanting to like get better at the language and immerse myself in the culture more and everything, right? Because, and I did get a lot of that, right? Like I think I personally grew a lot more here in 2 years than I would have just like staying in the same place in the US because it's just so different. But still, like, you know, there's always like work and life things and everything. And I think if I planned that a little bit better, I maybe could have like advanced a little bit more in like maybe the language and cultural department more, or worse, like instead spending a lot of more time on like work or something like that. So
I want to know what your bucket list is for this week. Yeah.
Let's see. We're going to a Jinjibang tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah. Your first time in Korea?
No, we've been to one. But this was like, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago. We came here as tourists. So we're going all the way to the Aqua Field and Goyang?
Okay. Yeah.
So that's like an hour and a half.
Starfield.
Yeah.
Wait, there's like a newly opened Starfield right here in Suwon.
Oh, there is.
This is supposed to be like really good. Yeah, it's like mega Starfield.
Maybe I should convince my friend to go there. What else are we doing? There's a lot of seeing friends this week. What do we want to do? Also, we live near Sochon Lake. And so we're hoping that the cherry blossoms start blooming a little bit. But they're starting to.
I think you'll nail it. Yeah, you'll see it right before you leave.
Yeah. We wanted to do one more like kind of date at Lotte World at night, but we'll see if we can make that happen.
Nice.
So romantic.
Yeah. Maybe a little more shopping in Lotte Mall. Yeah. Like that whole area is like nice. Yeah. But yeah, I think it's less tourist stuff and more just, or less like kind of experiences, more just like catching up with friends before we leave. Frankly, the more important thing. So yeah,
I want to use this chance, especially for our audience. I think that's such a good life lesson. Like what you said about when you don't have a definite timeline for it to end.
Yeah.
You just take everything for granted.
Yes, yes, exactly.
I literally, like, you quoted something I said in a previous episode, and it's just, you know, for our audience, wherever you are right now, don't take it for granted.
Yeah.
Right? You don't know how long it's going to last, especially the people. You know,
yes,
if there's someone you've been wanting to hang out with or reach out to or say hi, it's like you think you have all the time in the world. You really never know. And yeah, I think it's just like take every moment to fully be present where you are. Mm-hmm. And don't take that for granted. But you know, of course, when you get into that rhythm of life, everyone does it, right? Like you just don't even take the time to think, okay, what could I do this weekend or tonight? I'm just going to stay in or whatever, right?
Exactly.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. But yeah, anyway, don't take for granted how much time you have, whether it's in a place, a culture, or with different people. And so, yeah, don't let life pass you by.
Yeah. Well said. 100%. Yeah.
Well, you know, in spirit of what, you know, Daniel said, I think I did a pretty good job of, like, you know, take advantage of.
Ray is like the ultimate planner.
Yeah.
Most planner person I've ever met in my life. So.
Yeah. So I'm like Power J. You know, in Korean terms, Meyer Burke's terms. But so, you know, I went to like Thailand 3 times. I went to Vietnam and I, you know, like I did almost everything. But a few things that are still on the list to do is obviously medical checkup.
Yes, yes.
And then we haven't gone to Legoland. So we really want to go to Legoland. And then we haven't really done a like family trip with my mom and my dad. So that's one thing that we definitely want to do before we leave.
In Korea.
Yeah, I think so. Mm. Yeah.
Cool. All right, just a couple more here. What has been your most memorable experience in Korea? Anything jump out to you?
It might be like a stereotypical answer, but I think the hoishiks, you know, like just gathering with, it doesn't even have to be coworkers, but like that general, I kind of alluded to it before, right? Where like, I just really like the vibe of like going to like a koki restaurant and like with your friends and just having a good time and like catching up and all that stuff. Like, I feel like that things are just like set up well for that in Korea for a few reasons. One is there's the subway, so like you don't have to drive. Yeah, that's nice. The culture of like, you know, like icha, like samcha, that's always fun, and everything is like,
you can bring that back to the US.
I can, but it's like one thing I like here too is that like because everything's so densely packed, you can just walk down the street and look up and oh, there's like four places to choose from. Mm. It's not the same in the US. I think doing those with like with friends or coworkers, like those honestly have been the like the most memorable nights, just because it's just like a nice like setting, you know, like this is a good time. It's like a little hard to recreate in the US. Like you get together at like people's houses or something, right? And like that's fun too, but like it's fun to be out and like go to like different places. And like I would say Korea does like they like do different themes and decorations like really really well, right? Like you go into places that are just like, oh, this is so interesting, I wouldn't see this in the US.
I actually had lots of like birthday parties with my friends, and that had been fun because, like, you know, now like all my friends have kids, and so it's kind of hard to get together.
Yeah.
And but because I'm here, it's a good excuse even for them, because I think it would have been hard even for them to create this opportunity. But then because you know, Ray's leaving soon, you know, she's only here for like a year or two, so it's like it's a really good opportunity for all of us to get together. So I think those are the things that I would like, you know, probably miss the most, and like it was very memorable.
So you're reconnecting with old friends, right?
It's
true. Okay, let's see if we can squeeze this in. This one's a little bit more targeted. E, tell us a little bit. I know you're a gym rat. For the audience, if you can tell, E's kind of swole. But yeah, could you tell us just a little bit about the differences in gym culture and etiquette? Any funny or, you know, memorable experiences at the gyms here in Korea?
This is a pretty sensitive or heated topic for me. So I hope I don't, you know, rile anyone up. But there's been many times where the culture has annoyed me here when at the gym. And I think one of the most egregious examples is using equipment to hold your towel or your or something like that when someone should be using it to use it properly to do bench press or something like that, right? Yeah. I have literally gone into the gym, like, you know, before work or something, right? So it's not like I have unlimited time and I want to use one of the two benches in the gym, and someone is using it to hold their stuff, basically.
Yeah.
And they're like, I don't know, doing stretches like right next to it or something like that, right? Like, I think it's just, it comes down to not using the equipment for what it's meant for, which is fine if the gym is not crowded or no one's waiting on it, but if someone's clearly waiting on it. Yeah, I don't know. That's just what I've encountered, one thing. Another interesting thing is just people in the U.S. are just bigger, man. just to be blunt, right? Like, I wouldn't call myself big by any means in the U.S. because there's just so many, like, really strong people in the gym. But then in Korea, it is weird. Like, you go in and I feel like, oh, I actually feel kind of strong here because, like, I am lifting more than a lot of people. definitely not the most, but more than I'm used to, right? And it was an interesting feeling. What else? Treadmills are always occupied. That's fine. I don't like cardio. But they're always... Yeah, I think that was an interesting thing because, like, I know I just complained about equipment being taken up when I want to use it, but I've also encountered the opposite where, like, all the treadmills are taken, but then all four of, like, the squat racks, which are typically very high in demand, they're all open, and it's just surprising to me.
In the U.S., it's definitely flipped. Yeah, cardio is always available, squat rack, and those are not, yeah.
I think literally I got a text from the gym I go to here today saying that, like, it's like the general mass text, right? And they're saying, oh, we're installing more, like, stair steppers because they're in high demand and always being used. So... what else? Those are some of the big ones. Yeah, I think a lot of it comes down to this. It's like, why is this being used for this?
But you haven't gotten yelled at for dropping weights?
Oh, that's funny, actually.
Dude, I get all the time. Just like, because, you know, after deadlift, you drop it, right?
Yeah.
I get all these dirty looks and, like, mutterings underneath the breath. I'm just like, this is what it's for. Yeah.
I remember. Literally, I think the first time I went to the gym I've been going to here, and I was deadlifting, and I got in, not necessarily trouble, right? But, like, the trainer came over and said, oh, you need to use these, like, cushions under the, which is, I've just
never
seen that before, right? I was just doing it on the ground, right? And so, yeah, now that's what I do, but it's funny you brought that up because the same thing happened. Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. Maybe it's not on the first floor.
Maybe that's why.
Yeah, well... Yeah. Ours is in the basement, so it should be fine. It should be fine. Yeah, but
fail to defend.
I will be going back to the U.S. now, where I will go back to feeling much weaker and in my place at the gym.
I think I will just say my one sentence summary. Yeah, I think Korean gym culture is a little bit underdeveloped, and it's just not as popular for as long. Koreans are definitely starting to get into it more, but it's just a new thing here.
Yeah.
So they haven't maybe defined the cultural norms yet as much.
Yeah, maybe physical bec will make them more popular.
Yes, yeah. Season 2 is out. I haven't seen it yet. Yeah. Ray.
Are you going to ask me about gym culture?
No, I was going to ask you. Ray, my targeted question for you is, you know, as a mother here, how has parenting and being a mother differed? You mentioned it in one way, but is there anything else? How's it differed between Korea and the U.S.?
I realize that, like, co-parenting is not really a thing here. Because I feel like, I mean, obviously, like, even in the U.S., like, moms tend to do more of parenting and, you know, caregiving. But I think in Korea, I felt like that's, like, really... I've almost, like, never seen any, like, fathers. Well, not, like, you know, it's very rare to see fathers come to, like, PTA meetings or, you know, any, like, school events. They're coming, but it's very rare. And even when we have a date, like, play date or, like, birthday parties for my son, like, Korean dads, Korean dads don't come. Oh, yeah. It's always the mom and you know, moms and their children. And so it was actually really hard for, like, us as a family to hang out with another Korean family because I need to bring my husband because, one, like, I need him. Like, I can't really take care of my son by myself. It's just too much. And also, I don't want him to feel, like, left alone at home, you know? And then he can't really speak Korean. So it's like, you know, so it's really hard for us to, like, you know, have a good, like, family friends. So what ended up happening was we just hang out with another family who's
with, you know, Korean American or like American, you know, husband and then like, you know, Korean wife, like, you know, me. And so, you know, I think that has been the biggest, you know, difference that I've noticed.
Do you think it's more because the husbands don't want to come to these meetings, or is it more because I heard from Daniel too, the wives don't want their husbands to tag along also?
I don't know. This is my observation, so I don't know if it's really true, but I think, you know, women and men don't really hang out together, I feel like.
Oh, yeah.
Couples don't really hang out together that much. I don't know. That's what I've noticed. Yeah.
Parents, in particular. Yeah, once you have kids.
Yeah, they don't really... Husbands, they hang out with their friends, and then moms hang out with, I guess, like fathers hang out with their friends, and then moms hang out with their friends, and then kids are always with moms. Right?
Yeah, so, this was also so shocking to me. Both parents never hang out together with the kids. Anyway, it's really shocking. Okay, final one, just before we end, just any final thoughts or reflections that you didn't get a chance to share before we end today?
Maybe for me, I just, I really enjoyed my 2 years here, right? It sounds probably cheesy to say, but like, this is an experience, if people have the means to, I would highly recommend, you know, even if it comes, you know, at a little bit of a hit of your career or whatever, like other like life timeline you have, it's just very like, it's very eye-opening to go somewhere else, that, right? Where like you didn't grow up there. You just, the amount of like, new experiences you will have that will like develop you as a person, it just comes so fast, right? Like first simple example that comes to my head is that like I didn't grow up using the subway, right? And so now I just like use it all the time here, right? And so that's just one of like a million new experiences I had here that I wouldn't have had in the US. And so again, I know like not everyone has the means to, but if you do, I would highly recommend it. If I was a better planner, I would have like maximized these 2 years even more, right? As I talked about before, but I'm very happy with like the experiences I pulling away from here. And I know I'm coming out of this country a better person than going in, right? Like, you know, there've been some like lows, right? But there have been a lot of highs too, of like, just like feel good moments of like, wow, this country is amazing, right? And like, I really respect like everything that's going on here, so.
And that's coming from a non-Korean speaker. So it was really brave of you to move out here. And that's awesome to hear.
Thank you.
Well, the experience has been great for me, even like, you know, as someone who has, you know, born and raised. So if there's anyone who, because I feel like a lot of my friends who are living in the US who are Korean immigrants, I think it's really hard for them to, although they miss home, you know, Korea a lot, it's really hard for them to have a long stay here. So it's like always a trip for like 2 weeks, like maybe 1 month at the most. So I felt really fortunate to have this time. And then if anyone wants that, I think I definitely recommend, you know, doing this if they can. And also I really appreciate, you know, you guys for giving this opportunity, because I think it was a really good time, you know, for me to kind of reflect on the time that I spent here. And then, so yeah, I had fun. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Do you want to bring it home? Yeah.
No, I just have one more question.
Ray has a bus to catch up.
Probably for the bloopers. Okay, both of you. You have to answer quickly. What's your favorite Korean American podcast episode? Okay, that was it.
Okay, well, I think that's it for today. Now, really appreciate you all for coming on. I think this was an awesome conversation.
Thank you.
And a perfect way to be start having guests on this show. So thank you. And hope you had fun as well.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So as always, like, comment, subscribe. Let us know how we're doing. And we hope that you can also, wherever you're at right now, reflect on your life, your situation, the time and the people around you, and try to make the most of it. Because again, you really don't know when that might end. Okay.
All right. Bye.
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 Oh.
June's so nervous right now. I bring back a lot of drugs from the US.
We'll have to cut this entire section out. Just say medical supplements.
Yeah, medical supplements. You're okay
with legal medical supplements.
Yeah, legal medical supplements for my health.
We're still editing it out. Yeah. That sounds too much like CBD.